You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Jesus is Returning Soon. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
According to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper, a middle-aged couple from Illinois had their lives totally changed one Sunday morning in March of 1994. The newspaper reported that this middle-aged couple was headed for church. But then, according to the newspaper, a bolt of good luck changed their plans and their income. As they drove to church, the wife was checking the winning numbers from the previous night's lottery game. She compared the winning numbers to the ticket she was holding in her hands. She could not believe what she was seeing. The numbers matched, and they had won the $40 million Illinois lottery. Both husband and wife, however, wanted to be absolutely sure, and so they pulled over to the side of Interstate 270 and they checked and double-checked the numbers. Then they went back to the gas station where they had bought their tickets to make one last check and to be absolutely sure. Oh, indeed, it was true. They had won the $40 million. One can be absolutely certain that this news report was indeed widely read. Hundreds and even thousands of lottery losers are always eager to see what it is like to win. And indeed, this newspaper report was exciting. But it also contained a few words that were very, very disappointing, to be sure. You see, according to the news report, when the Illinois couple, on their way to church on Sunday morning, learned that they had won the lottery, they also decided at that moment that going to church would now have to wait. Now, it may be true that when this couple won the lottery, this did not permanently sever them from their faith, just because, as the newspaper reported, they decided not to go to church on that particular Sunday when they had won the lottery. This does not necessarily mean that they permanently strayed or were totally pulled away from the Lord. But the fact is that in many cases today, this is exactly what happens. The power of materialism often tears people away from their Lord. Once money becomes the God in people's lives, worship is then overlooked, prayer is then inconvenient, family devotions are no longer important, and finally, the love of materialism and money becomes not only a slight tug or a little pull in life, but rather it becomes the driving force. And this struggle, of course, between secularism and true God-pleasing spirituality, which the devil daily wages in your heart and soul, and also in mine, is a most fitting subject to discuss today. You see, we are now in the season of Advent, and this is the time of the church year when we remember that Jesus will return for a second time. It will also be on that day that God will judge whether our first love and devotion and service was for Him, or whether our first love in life was for money and materialism and the lotteries. Advent is also a time when the Word of God reminds us that money, materialism, and lotteries are here today and gone tomorrow. Materialism may thrill our hearts today, but money will have absolutely nothing to say on that final day when each of us will face our righteous, our holy, and our gracious God. And so then, with open minds, let us listen to God as He is speaking to us about that important biblical teaching of the second coming of His Son, the Lord Jesus. And with open hearts, may the Spirit of God then also enable us to prepare our lives and to be alert and to anticipate with great joy that day when Christ shall return to judge all men, and that day when Jesus will take all those who trust in His saving power to be with Him forever in heaven. This joy is something far greater than even the largest lottery in the whole world could ever give your heart. The Bible states clearly, and Jesus spoke directly, about our preparation for His second coming. To prepare for Christ means to acknowledge Jesus' clear teaching that man's heart is indeed absolutely corrupt. Jesus said, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and slanders." And to prepare for the return of Christ means that God desires that we not only be truly sorry for our sins, but also willing to seek cleansing and healing from our sins through the cleansing blood of Christ. In order to truly prepare our hearts for Christ's return, we need to say with the hymn writer who wrote, "Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within." These simple and beautiful words of repentance and faith need to be our confession as we prepare for the second coming of Christ and as we prepare to appear before His throne of judgment on the final day. Of course, there are those loud voices in 1995 who are openly expressing doubt as to whether or not the Scriptures actually and clearly teach that Jesus will definitely return. Therefore, to begin, we must ask the question, what does the Bible really say regarding Judgment Day? In the book of Acts chapter 17, the Scriptures are crystal clear. "But God," the Bible says, "has fixed a day." Yes, the Scriptures say, God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through Jesus, whom He has appointed, having furnished proof unto all men by raising Jesus from the dead. Of course, there are those today who make fun of what the Bible teaches regarding Judgment Day, but this should not surprise us. You see, centuries and centuries ago, the Apostle Peter at that time already explained that there were already in his day those who deliberately shut their eyes to a fact that they knew very well. They knew, you see, that God had judged the world in Noah's day, and yet they refused to heed this warning. By referring to Noah and the flood, the Apostle Peter then explains that a second and a greater judgment will come on the final day of judgment. This second judgment will be similar to the flood. However, on the final judgment, according to the Bible, there will be judgment by fire, and it will be much greater than the first. Now, isn't it absolutely amazing to see how many people today, when it comes to talking about the day of judgment, they have exactly the same calloused attitude of sinful indifference. "I couldn't care less," they say. This is exactly, of course, the same attitude that all those people had who perished in the flood in Noah's day. The Apostle Peter explains that in Noah's day, the scoffers asked, "Where is the fulfillment of God's return? Why don't we see anything happening? Why hasn't God come yet? When is He coming? From everything we can see," they scoffed, "all is continuing just as it was from the time of the creation. So much time has passed, but nothing has happened." The similarities between the scoffing and doubting in Noah's day regarding God's judgment and the indifference of 1995 is absolutely shocking. And for this, the Apostle Peter has a warning for all those who misinterpret God's delay in sending the judgment. St. Peter says, "You should never lose sight of this fact, dear friends, that time is not the same with the Lord as it is with us. For the Lord, one day may be 1,000 years, and 1,000 years may only be one day. It is not that He is dilatory about keeping His own promise, as some men seem to think, but the reason that God has delayed His judgment is because He is very patient toward you. God has no wish that any man should be destroyed. Rather, He wishes that all men should come to repentance." Oh, of course, Jesus Himself also warned about this coming judgment. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read the words of Jesus, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think that He will." Being on the alert and preparing as Jesus urges us to do is, of course, never easy. Spiritual preparation means repentance, and repentance is one of those teachings of God that is not only generally misunderstood in our generation, But repentance has also now become almost totally absent from our society. Last February, in a cover story, Newsweek magazine asked the question, how can we, as a nation, restore a sense of right and wrong in our society? And according to this feature article, the majority of our society no longer has any real sense of shame. The writer of the Newsweek article said that our country is filled with shamelessness. Nobody blushes. What was sin 30 years ago is no longer considered sin today. Newsweek reports that in our television shows, people are telling the world about bestiality inside their bedrooms, and nobody really cares. Nobody is shocked anymore. The whole nation merely yawns at it all. Lawyers and attorneys at murder trials bend the rules publicly to make their case, and then, following the trial, their client gets $1 million for his candid book. Politicians, who have a history of dealing in crime and corruption, are elected mayors of some of our largest cities. And the list goes on and on and on. And it is also for this reason that the Apostle Peter, in his letter to fellow believers, warns that on the final day of judgment, no sins will go unpunished. The consciences of our people may be callous, and the courts of our nation may lack the fear of God, but this spurning of God will neither deter nor delay his final judgment. For this reason, the Apostle Peter speaks directly unto all believers today when he says, in view of the fact of the coming judgment, what sort of people ought we to be? The apostle then answers by saying that we are to be of good and holy character, ones who live expecting and earnestly longing for the coming of the day of the Lord. And then the apostle Peter concludes by saying, because, my dear friends, you have a hope like this before you, I urge you to make certain that such a day would find you at peace with God and with man, clean and blameless in his sight. Meanwhile, however, consider that God's patience is meant to be man's salvation. And so then, my friend, we are now in the season called Advent, 1995. And if you are being driven by the values of this world, then your main concern for the coming weeks will most likely be a focus on materialism and commercialism. But if you are guided by the Spirit of God, then this Advent season and these weeks before Christmas will be a time for you and me and all of us to prepare our hearts and lives for the glorious second coming of Christ. This means that we will humbly make examination of and confession of sins, not of our neighbor's sins, but of our own failures and shortcomings. Advent, you see, means also that we will receive by faith the Jesus who was crucified on the cross and raised from the dead to save us from our sins. And so then, my friend, for these coming weeks, let us prepare our hearts and lives for the coming of Christ. Welcome his presence with sincere repentance and faith, and rejoice that God, in Jesus Christ, has totally forgiven you all your sins. And then also by faith believe that because of the sin-atoning work of Christ, you and God can be friends again. Clinging by faith every day to Christ and his saving power also means that you can face your day of judgment with confidence and with great joy. And now, no matter whether Jesus returns today, or tonight, or tomorrow, or next year, eagerly heed his words, be on the alert, and with a repentant heart, and with a simple faith, be prepared to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, for he is your hope, both for this life and also for eternity. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.